It's a pleasure to welcome back Louis Navalier.
That's good to be here.
I certainly hope that you all are in your Florida residence today with this absolute Arctic blast the rest of us are receiving in North America.
Well, in Florida, right. But it's windy from your cold front.
We've just had a remarkable rally, by some metrics, topping many analysts' expectations for 2018 in just the first 2 weeks of the new year. Can we really maintain this momentum?
It's interesting. We've had the strongest analyst revisions in a decade, and this is going to be the best earnings in over 6 years. And then normally at the end of an earnings season, so this would come around mid-February, stocks tend to consolidate. But the analyst community is going to, and the companies themselves are going to be guiding higher for the first quarter because that's when all the benefits from the tax cuts kick in. And because of the tax cuts, you know, companies are more likely to buy back their stock, boost their dividends. We've had a lot of dividend increases already. So I think the first 5 months of the year are just going to be wonderful. So we should just hang on, enjoy it. Of course, this is a seasonally strong time of year. What I mean by that, there's a lot of pension funding stuff in the new year. So,
do you expect to see the winners from last year continue forward? Typically, we rotate into new high flyers.
The market has broadened out quite a bit. What happened in the fourth quarter of last year, there was a mini tech wreck. That was caused when Walmart and Kroger had better than expected earnings and retail started to rally. Apparently, there were a lot of people on Wall Street that were long Amazon, short retail. And so that briefly a rotation. And to some high dividend stocks and some other what I would call wasted stocks. When I go to do my stock picking for my newsletters, I'm just overwhelmed with the number of stocks we're picking now. You know, last year we had to be mostly international, mostly tech. Now there's a lot of industry groups that are very strong. So the market's breadth and power is amazing. As this market goes higher, it will get more narrow. It usually does. But the tax cuts just gave the markets a lot more mojo, for lack of a better word.
Japan and, of course, China cutting back on U.S. Treasury purchases. That would seem to indicate high dividend-yielding stocks, at least on a relative basis here domestically, might be appealing, especially for institutions, pension funds, and endowment funds. Could that also boost our dividend-paying stocks here?
Yeah, you know, I have a $3 billion bond business where I do triple B corporates, but I can only get a yield of about 3.33 right now, going out 6 years. You know, if you're in a higher tax bracket, you're just better off in dividend growth stocks. You got to be really careful with dividends. We manage dividends. We do dividend growth. We do higher qualified dividends. And then, of course, we do REITs and MLPs at yield over 9. But the safest portfolio, in my opinion, is our dividend growth portfolio. It only yields about 3, 4, 5 right now. These stocks double their dividends every 6, 7 years. That's the lowest standard deviation. I think dividend growth is better than just pure high dividend. Of course, those are qualified dividends. Tax it up to 23.8.
So beware chasing that elusive yield. You need to be cautious.
That's correct. You will get more volatility as you push it higher. The yield curve is relatively, the 10-year moved up a bit when rumors spread that China would stop buying our treasuries, but that was just a rumor.
For the non-professional investor, what type of allocation, stocks, bonds, looks appealing this year?
What Wall Street will tell you is if you're 90 years old, you should be 90% bonds and 10% stocks. And if you're 50 years old, you should be 50-50. But that's just wrong because bonds are taxed at a much higher rate than dividends and capital gains. So I'll be very candid with you. I put most everybody in dividend growth, even though I've got this big bond business.
What about the precious metals? Been underloved for quite a few years. Some people are looking for, at least on a relative basis, an opportunity for shares and bullion.
I think that we just had the best gold rally in a long time, and gold's up almost 8% since December 12th. It's interesting that the Bitcoin, the cryptocurrencies, peaked on December 16th. It looks like some of the gold strength is due to, I think what caused that collapse is we got liquidity from the options and futures markets, and as soon as liquidity showed up, the cryptocurrencies cracked. And then the other thing that happened is North Korea hacked one of the exchanges and Korea shut it down, and South Korea is getting ready to ban all this stuff. Our Fed says that Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies are not quote-unquote legal tender. But ironically, Wall Street's trading the options and futures based on this. So it's a little confusing right now. Gold's a beneficiary.
No, the U.S. government's announced cryptos are an asset or a commodity, if you will, which I think is interesting because it's neither a commodity. It'll be intriguing to see how that plays out. Any other thoughts for investors this year? I'm sure you have at least a couple of sectors that might be worth further examination.
That's a great question. You know, I'm really light on the FANG stocks. Amazon's okay. Netflix is okay. But I have a lot of tech, but I'm mostly in NVIDIA, Applied Materials, Ultra Clean, that's another chip company, Lam Research. We've got a lot of chip stocks. I still have about 20% of my portfolios, no excuses portfolios in Chinese stocks. The main reason is the Morgan Stanley indices will be adding these Chinese stocks to their indices in June and September, so we're just ahead of that. They exhibited tremendous strength on the first business day of the year. A lot of them ripped up like 10% that day. So the fact that the indexing out there is going to be forced to buy all these Chinese stocks is interesting. So they're still leading my portfolios. I'm really encouraged with earnings. So far, so good with earnings season, and we expect wave after wave of good earnings to propel our stocks higher. And we got two quarters in a row of just stunning earnings, positive analyst revisions, big buybacks. It's as good as it gets. So people should pinch themselves.
Exactly. You know, the NVIDIA, we've also been huge fans of NVIDIA card arriving, scheduled to arrive here at the office today for our small crypto mining operations.
So congratulations on figuring out how to mine and make Bitcoin. But at least NVIDIA is helping.
We mine the altcoins, and then it's auto set up to purchase Bitcoins for our supporters. And as we wrap up here today, if you had maybe two or three candidates you've mentioned that you like, of course, maybe Netflix, of course, Amazon, which is interesting because you haven't been a huge fan of Amazon for several years here.
Of the FANG stocks, those are the only ones I'll tolerate right now. Holding is NVIDIA, by far, okay? That's NVDA. Our next top holding is a stock called Webco. It's a Chinese Twitter. In a correction crackdown to wipe out of all his political opponents. He's made himself president for life. He's very Putin-like. So they like to gossip about him on Webco's little tweets in China. It's interesting. The Twitter in China is the opposite of Twitter in America. Twitter in America, our president uses to communicate, and web the people in China, it's a little different. So we have WB, NVDA, and then Align Technology is one of our bigger holdings. They make Invisalign to straighten everybody's teeth. It was actually a very strong stock last year, but we still like it quite. Anything that's domestic is reaping windfall profits from the tax cuts.
And outside of equities, any particularly appealing industries?
Biggest bets are in copper and lithium. So that would favor something called SQM. It's a Chilean company. Another one is FMC. Mines a lithium in Argentina. There's an acute lithium shortage right now. We have the Tesla battery plant outside of us in Reno, and they've had all kinds of production hang-ups. Of course, that's sourced by Panasonic. Volkswagen Group is sourced by Samsung. They're having shortages. So, you know, now that everybody's making hybrid and lithium cars, there's an acute shortage. Eventually, lithium will be replaced by solid state. If they get to lithium air, they'll last a little longer because you have to have liquid or gel in there to cool the batteries. So, yeah, it's kind of hard to electrify all your cars if you can't find the lithium. FMC and SQM are big bets on that. And then, of course, SQM also mines copper. Copper benefits immensely from a growing economy and all electric cars because obviously electric motors all have.
Policymakers talking about maybe 2 to 3 more rate hikes this year, but no one's buying it. Do you think they'll have their hands tied this year, and what might be the implications for the markets?
Jerome Powell takes over, and I hope he talks to us very soon. He was Treasury Secretary Mnuchin's pick. We've had a big change at the Fed. Yellen's on her way out. The Vice Chairman, Fisher, is leaving. He's extremely qualified, head of the World Bank, head of Bank of England, or Bank of Israel, I'm sorry. And then we have the New York Fed guy, Mr. Dudley, left. Based on the FOMC minutes, they're arguing with each other about a rate hike. There's no inflation, didn't show up in the December PPI or CPI. The yield curve is the flattest it's been in almost 10 years. So if they keep raising rates, they're going to invert the yield curve, and that will destroy the banking system. So I don't think they're going to raise rates like they predicted they will. I think they're going to drag their feet. But it all depends on what Jerome Powell says. Now, Mr. Powell, our new Fed chairman, is supposed to be very, very market-friendly, okay? And he doesn't want to spook the markets. So I don't think a March rate increase is likely. I think it's going to be postponed until bond yields go higher.
Any other contact information, or maybe you'd like to direct people's web browsers?
The main thing people should know is our research is online, available free. And they can go to NavalierGrowth.com, which is my newsletter site. Navalier.com is my management site. Both sites have free dividend graders, free stock graders. If they're interested in our management, go to Navalier.com. But we like to empower people first, give them our research away free. And if, of course, they want us to manage money, we're happy to do so. It's actually an interesting environment. I neglected to tell you that actually we're number one in the past 3 years in ETF management, but our stock management beats our ETF management. So one of the things we're doing is we know how the ETFs realign and we can trade ahead of them. And so that's been a big thing. So even though we're, you know, five-star ETF manager and all that stuff, our stock manager is beating it. So we're pretty good at what we do, and we're very proud of what we're doing, and we're off to a good start.
Thanks so much, and have a great 2018.
Take care. Bye-bye.